Hello, Solar Mom. Welcome or welcome back to Solar Moms Talk. I'm J. Rosemary Francis, your host and mentor. This week, we're switching gears. The last two episodes featured solar moms sharing their story of trauma and recovery, of healing. In this episode, Modern Wealth founder Jennifer Lee shares her financial strategies for women in transition. Also, keep listening to learn what it means to squeeze the juice. In this battle of life, it's hard to keep your head above the water. So win this fight. My guest today is Jennifer Lee. Welcome, Jennifer. Thank you for coming and speaking to us on Solar Moms Talk.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before we get into what you do, could you tell us, who is Jennifer Lee?
Oh, gosh. You know, I met some young ladies the other night. I've got a 40-year-old advisor who's joined my practice, and I met her daughters. And I said, your mom doesn't know this about me, but I'm really Aunt Jen first, more than an advisor. So I would say, you know, I'm Aunt Jen. I've got 9 nieces and nephews, and I love to spoil them, travel with them, do stuff, make jewelry, and then send them home.
Oh, cool. Thank you. And spoiler alert, I'm Aunt Jen as well, because my first name is Jennifer.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Probably have 100 nieces and nephews. Yes. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And we're going to talk about solo moms and challenges they face, especially maybe before, during, and after divorce. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what would a solo mom have to do to prepare themselves? It's after the fact. They probably were married, they divorced, but they're looking at relationships again, maybe engaged or something like that. What could they do to prepare without appearing that they're, you know, planning for a divorce? That's the fine line, right? To prepare themselves, especially financially, in case of a divorce.
So you're speaking to a couple that's married and has kids and is thinking, the mom is thinking, I need to exit this relationship?
No, not yet. We're talking after that fact. I'm okay. A solo mom, I'm a divorced mom, or I'm just a mom, but I'm thinking about marriage. Maybe I have the opportunity, I'm engaged.
Okay.
I mean, we're not thinking about that. We're thinking about love and the wedding and blah, blah, blah. So what could we have done differently at this stage?
Yeah, you know, truly, I'm not sure it's exclusive to you know, divorcees. It really applies to everybody, particularly every woman, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have some control of your destiny. You know, hopefully you're not weighing everything on this person, on this other relationship from a financial perspective. You know, our practice, we tend to advise, counsel, and support women in financial transition. So through all those changes, so trying to get you clear about your own money, your own ability to figure out what your cash flow is, save for yourself and for your kids and your future. Now you add in a relationship. Let's hope that that person has a similar mindset around money and future. And so I like to think that it's probably some of the most important conversations are around your values. So what are your personal memories and values around money? And what is your soon-to-be relationships, values, and experience around money? That's going to tell you a lot.
Yeah.
That's going to tell you whether they're going to spend every nickel they make, whether they're going to go on big extravagant vacations, whether you can afford it or not, or whether they're going to penny pinch everything, or some variation in between.
Yeah.
And that can be a big difference in a relationship. So it's important to have those money story conversations.
Yes, yes. And I hear you saying that the compatibility shouldn't be just focused on the chemical relationship.
Right.
But it should be focused on our values. How do each of us think about these things that affect our finances? Because the money problem is just the result of all that, right?
Well, I did a podcast with a social worker one time, and she said, money is more intimate than sex. And that kind of says it all, right? Like that is, and probably with you're talking about your moms and then getting in a new marriage or a new relationship that's of a serious nature. You know, probably most important to you is your kids, right? What is your soon to be partner? What are their values around children and your children and how parenting and how does that impact the relationship? And then, you know, certainly we want the chemical part. We want that connection. We want that that magic of a relationship. But the money matters, right?
Yeah.
It's an important, it doesn't have to be the only thing, but you have to have some sort of parameters around it, some sort of knowledge about it. You know too much.
Right? Yeah.
You just came out of a mess. Now you know too much. You can't go in blind.
Yeah, definitely. And I believe too that if you could expand on this, is that the decisions we make are always far reaching, especially when we've lived a life before. Like we're not high school kids or college graduates just getting started. We'll go back to that in a bit. But I want to talk about people who are just they're in this situation and every decision we make, because the other person might have children too, right? So if you could talk about that.
Well, everything we do ultimately has impact on the future. You know, when it comes to money and relationships, I think, you know, I guess it really does come back to the values and what are your goals as a couple, right? Like, what do you want together? Do you want the same things? You know, you may have in your mind that, well, you know, I grew up and I always had these relationships with my aunts and uncles, and this is how their retirement looked like, and this was what their life looked like. And in your mind, that's what you want. But your soon-to-be spouse doesn't, they had a completely different experience. Hmm. That's going to be the most challenging to kind of reconcile. Yeah, it's fun and it's a lot, right?
Right, it is. It's a lot. You know, I talk about this because I remember when I was going into marriage, finances were the furthest thing from my mind, right? And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to support my family. I was never thinking about his money.
Yeah.
But then when you're divorced, if you're not careful, they're thinking about your money. You know, so it's just so complicated. Simple.
It can, and it depends on the relationship, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the disparity between your assets. Like maybe you make a whole lot more money than your love that you're crazy about right now. And maybe that's okay. But where's the equity, right? And it doesn't have to be dollars for dollars, but what is your partner going to be contributing to the relationship, and how does that support your work, right? That might be very valuable to you. But I do think it's important to have an understanding of what each person is bringing economically to the picture. You both may have alimony or child support or other things from past relationships. You know, those are obligations that have to happen for a period of time. And you probably also have, since you've been burned from the last divorce, you might be very clear about this is my money, that's your money, and never the two shall combine. Now, I will just mention, it may be fresh on your mind from divorce, but if you have two separate financial scenarios and you say, you keep your money, I'm going to keep mine, and you get married and you get income and it comes into your checking account that is a marital asset now. That's marital money. So if you're going to get in a new relationship and you want to keep what you have existing separate, open a new bank account. Yeah. Brand new bank account. New deposits go in there. That's your income during your marriage. You don't have to put his name on it, but that's still a marital asset. So you want to start accumulating from there or have a prenup.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I appreciate you. So we're going to move forward or backward, depending on how you want to look at it. Many solo moms find themselves suddenly in charge of finances after divorce, or maybe it's after death of the spouse. What are the first three steps a single mom should take when she finds herself at one of life's financial crossroads?
Yeah, it's a really scary time. So I'm not going to lie that. And oftentimes it's an overwhelming time because you maybe weren't the what I call the moneyed party. So you weren't the spouse that was in charge of that. You had other responsibilities, relationships we divide and conquer. It wasn't your specialty. So you weren't necessarily tuned into it. So it feels a little overwhelming because you don't have control. You don't have your finger on the pulse of things.
Yeah.
So first, you need to assess what you have, right? Do you own properties? Do you have retirement accounts? Does your, you know, your spouse have life insurance? Do you have life insurance? Where do you bank? You know, now we have this cryptocurrency. So, you know, those things go away if there's no online access. So you need passwords and usernames. Mm-hmm. You know, is there a will? Do you have education accounts for the kids? So all these things. I mean, I know I just probably stressed everybody out and I didn't mean to do that. That's just the point is get your stuff. Okay. I don't care if you put it in a shoebox and an envelope and a folder and you're slapping your purse, but you need to bring your stuff to a trusted person who's going to help you go through.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you say, oh, I have all this stuff. I don't know what it is. You know, lots of times we'll meet somebody and they'll say, I have these things, but I don't know. Somebody, you know, sold us this or put us in this and I don't know what it is. And so we explain, you know, oh, this is an IRA, you know, this money you're not going to touch until you're 59 and a half or older. This is for retirement. We're not going to worry about that right now. This money is in a CD. It doesn't come due for 6 months and all those things. So one is get your stuff. Two is find somebody who you can go through those things with, a trusted party. It could be your accountant, not during tax season. It could be a financial advisor. It could be a friend who's financially astute. Just to get you centered.
Yes.
And then I like to, the next step for me is what do you have at your discretion, right? What's your income coming in or your Social Security or your resources from those assets? And what do you have to pay, right? What's left is at your discretion. You can go to the bookstore. You can go buy caramel macchiato. You can buy shoes. You can send your kids to camp, whatever it is, that's your choice. It's at your discretion. That's not your car, your phone bill, your house, your electric and heat.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually. And moving on from that, I want you to tell us what you do for your clients and how we can get in touch with you.
Sure. So I've been in the financial services industry for, 29 years now, but I probably started much younger. I'm 55 now. And I, you know, was 6 years old going on appointments with my dad. So I like to say I started way young. I'm comfortable with money. It's not a scary topic. And my clients often are people who feel intimidated by the topic of this conversation. It is not a matter of intellect. It is not a matter of capacity to understand. Mm-hmm. It is just inexperience, right? You don't have a specialty. If you ask me to write an article, that's not my natural space. I could do it. It's just going to take a little more time. Mm-hmm. Right. But if I had a writer talk to me about how do you outline it and, okay, what are you thinking, and give me guidance, I would be able to do it more efficiently.
Right.
So that's what we do as an advisor. We help guide and direct people through these stressful times in their life. So, you know, going through divorce, big change, buying or selling a business, loss of a spouse, and help them create a path moving forward. I mean, I like to say I work with happily married couples too, but my niche really is these women in transition, right?
Yes.
It's very satisfying and it's enjoyable to see people go. I always like to say when I'm working with a client, I'll say, you can forget about it after you leave. We made a decision based on, I went over everything. You made a decision. You were educated about it. You can forget it. And then the next time you come in, I'm going to remind you what we did and why. And then about the third time, they're like, Jennifer, please don't tell me that again. I know. I got it. Right? And I love that moment. I love that moment. So that's the highest level way to say what we do. And, if your viewers, listeners would like, if we didn't answer a specific question, I have a Calendly link. It's Jennifer Modern Wealth. And they can just click on there and do a squeeze the juice call and I'll answer their questions. Spend 15 minutes with them and answer it, or shoot me an email, whatever works.
Okay, cool. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And you have a website?
I do. It's modern-wealth.com.
Okay.
I did write a book. It's called Squeeze the Juice. And it really, for somebody who is like thinking that they don't know enough to ask questions, it is a very easy read. It gives you context and stories around money concepts that aren't intimidating. So I didn't write it to sell books, but it is a practical book that people don't get scared when they start reading it.
Okay. All right. Because my next question was going to be about squeeze the juice.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Thank you for sharing with us what you do. And we'll put those links in the show notes so people could grab them and contact you, hopefully. So in your book, Squeeze the Juice, you talk about living with purpose. What does that look like for a single mom who feels stuck in survival mode?
Yeah, I think what I would do is have a conversation with that single mom about where they are from a job perspective. Do they need more, do they need to go back and get more education to expand their job opportunities? And we do a lot of consulting and coaching just naturally. I'm not trained as a coach, but I'm talking to women and clients all the time and trying to empower them to think differently. I had a friend who could be considered a podcast listener here. And she said, I got this interview at 10 o'clock today. And this was at 9 this morning. And she said, and it's like a 9-to-6 job. And last week she told me how, she doesn't want this restriction of a job, but she's short on money. She's got debts. And I said, okay. I said, well, here's the thing. You told me what your values are and what you want, and this doesn't fit that. So the question is this job opportunity something you can change your mindset to and say, I'm going to do this because it's going to be my step up. It's going to be my way out to pay my debt, to get health insurance, to get structure, and then I'm going to go from there. So I think it's a matter of all of those things, right? We get stuck in the trap of you're on a hamster wheel and there's no way ahead. Well, we need to take a minute and really look forward and then make a plan. Yes, I'm on this hamster wheel right now and I'm going to do a side hustle over here to make a little money to get ahead. But what does my future look like?
So, right. Yeah.
I would say, shut your eyes and imagine what that future looks like. And let's back into it, right?
Yeah. And yes, you're right. And sometimes all it takes is like a perspective shift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't feel like it when it's happening, but.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Jennifer, for coming and talking to us today. What are you grateful for today?
Right now, I'm grateful for a lot. I just had a family vacation that was really wonderful. That was squeezing the juice for me, right? That's getting that experience with those kids. Yeah, I'm grateful for a lot of things. I'm grateful for my relationship. I'm grateful for my business. I love what I do. It's not work for me. I mentioned this young lady who just joined my practice. That's been fun the last few days. I told her, I said, I can't help myself. I get so excited telling you stories because I want to help leapfrog you to the next level. I want to give you all these ideas. I said, you're just going to have to tell me to stop talking because I get excited. So I'm blessed. I'm really grateful for a lot of things. Thank you for asking that question.
Sure. And thank you for sharing your heart about that. All right. So before I let you go, can you explain to us what the family love letter is.
Sure.
And sure. Yes.
Okay. So writing your family love letter is, it doesn't replace a will. It doesn't replace any legal documents, but it communicates to your loved ones all the important things. So the easiest way I can explain this that will have the most impact is to say to you right now, if you had to make one phone call, and it's the last phone call you're going to make, who are you calling? Okay, so it's one of your kids or your boyfriend or your spouse or your mother, whoever it is. And what do they need to know? And I get chills, right? Like, they need to know a lot. If it's your kid and they're 12, they need to know how you feel about them. They need to know what you see for them in the future. They need to know what you expect for them in terms of contributions to society. They need to know your values. They need to know what you hope for them in marriage. Like, there's so many things that they need to know. And that's not even the money stuff, right? They, you know, if it's your kids or your spouse, they also need to know, what do you have? Hey, I have life insurance. Hey, this is somebody I trust that you can talk through and go through all this stuff. I have accounts here. I have accounts there. Here's where I hide my passwords. I have $200 under the mattress. All those things they need to know. And it is a little chilling. And 9 times out of 10, when I have these conversations, women in the group will say, oh my gosh, I went home and told my husband, I need this. I need this love letter. But we don't execute on it. So I would encourage you, even if you do a voice memo on your ride home or on a walk, you do a voice memo to your kid, to your spouse, whatever, and just tell them your values. Tell them what you hope for them. My dad passed away almost 10 years ago now. And you know, I have this little card and it has like 3 sentences on it, right? I cherish that. It's on my desk at home. Would I have loved a 3-page love letter from him? Yes. Okay. So now I got to just like remember all the things he said.
Yeah.
And I do, but it's a enormously valuable thing that you could do for your loved ones. So.
Yeah, that is so important. I had an aunt who died and we were scrambling, searching through her apartment, digging up everywhere, trying to find stuff because we knew nothing about her. No one knows where nothing is. So yeah, that is a very important thing. Yeah.
And you know, with your aunt, you know, something like if you don't talk about the things that you have, like maybe she had this antique table that you guys went in there and you're like, oh, a table, I hate that table. Well, it could be worth a lot of money. Yeah. You could have this really wonderful story about her love from wherever and they picked it up when they were antique. Who knows, right? Yeah. So I think I have an 83-year-old aunt and I had the opportunity to stop by her house. I haven't been there in years, right? Because I'd meet her at a restaurant or meet her at my mom's. And I went through her house and I was like, oh my, like, it is amazing. The art on the walls, there's a story to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's precious stuff that gets lost.
Yes.
So if you have a loved one who's older, and we have these, you know, computers in our hand all the time, right? Yeah. You could do a voice memo and you could walk around the house with her and go through those things.
Yes.
That's just a little extra, but that doesn't necessarily have to be in the love letter.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer Lee, for coming and talking to us today. And please hit up Jennifer and squeeze the orange.
Squeeze some juice.
Squeeze the juice. because, you know, we all need a little help sometime, especially with our finances. So I appreciate you, Jennifer.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.